All right, am I? I'm sorry. I'm playing with toys here. Got to look at my Christmas lights. One's green and one's. Yeah. Okay, let's do a recap. Okay, rewind. We'll rewind it for us. How's that? Okay, I make myself laugh. All right, so I laugh at myself. You got to have a sense of humor sometimes. So, yeah. So, anyway. Let's turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. We're going to talk about answered prayer today, okay? You know, if you missed morning prayer this morning, it was wonderful. I mean, I had a good time. I got all wound up, and I was pretty happy. But the interesting thing here is that when we're involved in prayer, you know, we'll talk more about kind of the prayer of faith today. But as far as prayer is concerned, you know, my heart is to see the glory come down in this earth, right? I just was sharing a little bit this morning about the glory. You know, Moses said, I want your glory. I want to see your glory. And, you know, God didn't respond and said, okay. He said, I'll let you see my goodness. God didn't even call it his glory. He called it his goodness. And when we see the glory, or the manifest presence of God, or when God shows up on the scene, the goodness comes. Why? Because in that glory, there's goodness. I mean, I thought, like, you know, chocolate chip cookies were good. But, you know, I mean, God's glory is, there's goodness in that. What is the goodness? Healing, provision, joy, revelation. I mean, kind of thought about things like, for example, Lord, do I start a business? Do I take this job? Do I go here? Do I go there? You know what? God is the source, and he's the one that can give us that information. He's the one that can download what it is that we're going to do. You know, I've done things before, and I look back, I'm like, oh, I wish I wouldn't have done that before. Have you ever done that before? I'm the only one that screwed things up before. Okay, so nobody else has ever done that before? All right, good. I'll just go ahead and preach to the wall back here. I'm kidding. But we've all made mistakes, right? The Bible says we've all, you know, sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So, you know, we missed the mark. But the main thing is we need to tap into the Holy Spirit to find the answers, don't we? I don't have all the answers. But I do know who does. And I get a little concerned about people who say they've got all the answers, because I don't want to be around them, right? Because if they say that they have all the answers and everything. I remember listen, this guy, it was a joke, but he was talking about raising his kids, and he says, you know, 10 laws to raising kids. And then the first one came along, and it was like, you know, 10 guidelines for, and then he had the second kid come along, and it was like, you know, 10 suggestions for raising kids, right? Because what happens is things will change. You think you know everything, but when you're in the middle of it, you don't know how you're going to react. So if we're going to look at prayer this morning, I'm going to talk about 7 steps to prayer, 7 steps to answered prayer. I need my prayers answered. How about you? And one of the things, the first step is decide what you want from God. I believe that as we go to God in prayer, we have no idea what it is that we're praying for, right? You know, I've had people before in church years ago and just over the years and say, would you pray for me? Great. What? What do you want me to pray for you? I don't know, just pray for me. Okay. Well, why don't you go in the car, get in your car, and go somewhere? You kind of need a destination, don't you? You kind of need to focus. Well, some people, well, you know, and then we get to other people that say, well, you know, all roads lead to God. Really, there's only one road that leads to my house. Hello? Right? I mean, when you think about it here, let's see, I live east of here. So if you get on the highway and travel west, you're not going to get to my house. All right? And Jesus said there in John chapter 3, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Don't you think God knows where he lives? Hello? Ever watch that the movie It's a Wonderful Life, you know, and George Bailey slams into that guy's tree. And then he comes back, and all of a sudden, everything's Pottersville, and it's not, you know, what is it, Bedford Falls, wherever it's at. And he goes, well, you know, you know, here in, you know, Bedford Falls. He goes, this is Pottersville. And he goes, don't you think I know where I live? And that's where I want to tell people too, you know, all roads lead to God. Don't you think God knows where he lives? Hello? It's the same with here. We're not getting anything because we're not asking for anything. You know, people are just, well, I'm hoping and praying and everything. God wants to be specific about things, right? You know, when we get to heaven, it's going to be very detailed. Our mansions, those of us who are born again, right? We're just not going to have a big old stack of lumber and everything else too. No, I believe God is in the details. Ever watched The Raiders Lost Ark, you know, where Indiana Jones is out there and he's getting the Ark of the Covenant? The Ark of the Covenant is very detailed. God knows what he wants. There's got to be two cherubs on top of that thing with their wings spread forward. It's got to be made out of shintim wood, and then it's covered with gold, and then there's, you know, there's two rods that go forth, and that's what you carry, and then I mean, God's very detailed. And in fact, when the Philistines had it and they were bringing it back, one guy started to slip, and one guy reached over to grab it by his bare hand, and it killed him. You don't do that. And so God is very specific on things. Well, God wants us to be very specific when we come to him in prayer, when we talk to him, right? You can't tell me your kids aren't very specific when it comes to Christmas time, right? I want this, and I want this, and I want this, and I want four of those, Daddy. Okay, well, great, great. And here we are, you know, just hem-hawing. Probably somebody you've been around before where you'll say something, well, I'm praying for healing. Can you pray for my body or something? Well, what do you want? What do you want me to pray for? Right? I've gone in hospitals before and prayed for people, and it's like, well, you know, what do you want? Well, I want to walk out of here. One time I was praying for a lady, and I said, well, what do you believe for? She goes, I just want to get out of here. I said, okay, so if I lay my hands on you, can you agree with my prayer? Yeah, okay. We're going to pray, because she was on deathbed, and she was going to die in about 3 days. Doctor said she's not going to make it. And then so I said, okay, if I pray, can you agree with me? If I pray right now that you'll be completely healed, and then we're going to walk out of here this week, can you agree with that? Yes, I can. We prayed, and then God did the rest, right? We are very specific on things. That's why sometimes I know I'm annoying, but I'll say things like, what scripture are you standing on? Or what do you want? I mean, again, you know, are we going to agree that the medicine's going to do the job? Is it, we're going to believe for healing? Right? Because here's the thing, the Bible says, and I don't know, but it says there in Matthew, if two or more are gathered in my name, them touching anything, they agree a what on earth? They agree on earth. We're not in agreement if I'm out here believing for something else and you're over here. So that's why our prayer has to be very specific sometimes with these things. And Jesus did this a lot. He'd say, well, what do you want me to do? You know, it's funny because the centurion came and he's like, hey, my servant's, you know, my servant is sick and he's about to die. And Jesus is like, okay, let's go. And would the centurion go, no, just wait. No. I see you're a man under authority. Just speak the word and he'll be healed. And Jesus was, what? Excuse me? Pardon me? Just speak the word? And then what did he say? I haven't found this great of faith in you know, the house of Israel. My hometown, the people that are supposed to be faith. We got a heathen over here that understands authority, right? And it was the revelation that this centurion had that this Jesus is tapped into something, a higher power than we are, right? He is tapped into some kind of authority, something greater than us. And I get authority. So again, you know, Jesus worked with people on wherever they were at. So we're starting here in James chapter 1, verse 6 through 8. I know I'm not going to get through this today, but that's all right. And it says, verse 6, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Do you know that when we go to God, we need to be in a position of faith, right? That means that before we even ask, we need to know that God has got our back, and he's going to answer our prayer, and he's going to take care of it, all right? Now, sometimes it's not in our time frame, but when we think exactly, and I'm not talking about healing, we can be healed immediately. But my point is that those things that we believe for. For example, you know, when Mark chapter 11, verse 23 through 20, 25, you know, right before that, they were on their way, and Jesus got done overthrowing the tables in the temple. Remember that? Got the whip out. Why? Because he said, these guys have turned my house of prayer into a den of thieves. And so he's turning over tables in the temple and doing all this other stuff. And they walk by this fig tree that didn't have fruit on it. And Jesus cursed it. Now he wasn't using bad language. What a curse means is just that it's going to shrivel up and die because it's not producing anything. Did it do it instantly? No. Now, it did happen instantly, right? But we didn't see the results of it. Until next day, you better believe it. Who is it? Peter? And the rest of the disciples are looking. They're walking by like they're noticing. Ooh, I remember. Yeah, Jesus cursed that thing yesterday, right? Did it happen instantly? Yes, it did happen instantly. Why? Because Jesus knew that the moment he spoke it by faith, that fig tree was going to die. But we didn't see the results of it yet. That's what faith is. That's what faith is. Sometimes we see it immediately, sometimes we don't. Jesus didn't go back. You know, it didn't say Jesus looked and examined it and everything. He didn't even acknowledge it. The disciples were the ones that turned around and looked at it. They wanted to know what was going on. So it says here in James chapter 1, again, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. We've got to be completely sold on this. It's not, I like to think of it this way, we can't have faith in our faith. You know, some people, when we talk about faith, they're always like, well, I've got faith. No, we've got a measure of faith from the Holy Spirit, Romans tells us, right? It's the measure of faith that we have. So it's actually God's faith that is in us when we're born again. But the point is this, we're not having faith in our ability, right? I'm going to have faith and I'm going to do this and I'm going to move this mountain. No, God is the one that's going to do it for us. Right? I have no ability to do anything. If you're looking to me to heal anybody or do, I can't do it. I'm sorry. It's just not going to happen. Right? I'm going to keep myself humble before God and say, all right, I can do nothing apart from him. Jesus walked in the same power too. He said, hey, why do you call me good? Well, I'm pretty sure Jesus is good. But when he was here on the earth, he gave all the glory to God, right? He walked under the power of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. He didn't do anything, no miracles, nothing happened. We kind of talked about this briefly this morning in prayer, but he didn't do anything, any miracles until the Holy Spirit fell upon him. Then from there, the game was on, right? I mean, it was all out a war between, the religious spirits and the devil and Jesus. Because Jesus was cute and wonderful and okay as a carpenter, right? There's no threat there. But when you have the anointing come on you and you have a revelation of something, the devil sees you as a threat. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he'll receive anything from the Lord. What a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Right? That's why we've seen so many people over the years where they'll say, well, that faith stuff doesn't work. What do you mean faith stuff? See, it's faith stuff. Like people, and that's what kind of gets under my skin, two people were talking about, well, that tongues business. No, you're talking about a person here. You're talking about the Holy Spirit. And when you say that faith stuff, you're talking about God showing up and manifesting himself on the earth, right? It's not faith stuff. It's a person that shows up and does things for people, right? I'm not manipulating God to do anything. He wrote it in the Word, and he's saying, this is all available to you. That's why I get kind of nervous around people, too, that they'll say, complain about certain ministers having money or Christians having money. You know, nobody has any problems with a lot of these rich people, right? I mean, especially politicians, as long as they're giving them money, they don't care. But if I'm going to have money and donate to missions, right, or if I do something for God, then it's all the antennas go up. Everything is, guys, we should be so filthy, just stinking rich, it just gives the devil a coronary, right? All you people in business, I mean, I pray that you make millions and billions of dollars. Why? Because of the gospel. I mean, I'd rather have billions of dollars than George Soros, right? Hello? At least I can fund it to the right places. Hello? And help the kingdom, right? So there's people that are just doing dumb stuff with money, and they just throw it all over the place, right? The point is, we should have the finances. We should be able to pray. We should be able to see, you know, kingdom come. We should be able to throw money at missions and everything else too. But the devil, let's get back to the faith. The reason why the devil can get you, if he can get you double-minded, second-guessing things, right? If he can get you to second-guess. Why did, you know, when Jesus went and he was tempted in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, the devil was trying to get Jesus to double-think, to get double-minded about his call. That was it, right? If he can get him sidetracked, are you really the Son of God, right? If you'll just bow down before me, I'll give you all this. Well, the devil was only half lying because he had the authority, right, that was given to him in the Garden of Eden. But Jesus is going, well, I'm going to get it back. I'm going to get it back. If you'll bow, you'll have all this back. Well, we know the devil is a liar. Even if Jesus would have bowed that day, he would not have given it to him, right? And Jesus was not stupid. So, the main thing with the devil is to try to get you to double think, to get double-minded. If he can get you double-minded to question, is this really going to happen or not? Is God really going to back you up? Then he's got you beat. If he can, because again, all he's going to do is put seeds of doubt in your head. That's it. The main thing is, on this scripture too, we need to, when we do go to prayer, is unstable in all of his ways. 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 You know, I think most people are this. They are drawn to people that are solid. You know, I remember just being at Rhema and listening to Brother Hagin. I had Spiritology with Brother Hagin. You can get up. And every day, open up your Bibles, 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, the 23rd verse. The next day, open your Bibles, the 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, the 23rd verse. See, all I remember is that. You know, I mean, I remember a lot of things from that, but it's just that scripture every day, right? Other classes I have with Brother Hagenerson, open your Bibles to Mark the 11th chapter, the 22nd verse. And I'm thinking, dear Lord, is he going to preach anything else? And then he'd have a whole other hour of revelation just from that scripture, right? But why? I think we're all drawn to people that are solid and stable, right? You just know what they're going to say. Adrian will do that a lot. You know, she's talking to somebody. Well, I know what he's going to say. I don't need to talk to him, right? She'll call me and ask him something, and I'll say things like, well, why'd you even call me then? Because you know what I'm going to say. Well, I just want to make sure. Well, you knew, right? Do we need to talk? No. Because she knows what I'm going to say. I know what she's going to say, right? So, we're drawn to that. God is never going to change. He said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. I change it not, right? God doesn't change at all. I'm glad he doesn't change because I'm glad the sun rises every day. And I'm glad the sun hasn't exploded anytime soon. And I'm glad that, you know, we haven't gone into, you know, global meltdown or global freezing. You know, in the 70s, it was like, oh, the world's going to freeze. And then, you know, in the 2000s, oh, it's just, you know, Earth's going to burn up. Now it's like, oh, it's climate change, and we can't make up our mind. God is solid. He's stable. So again, we've got to define what it is we're looking for, what it is that we're believing for. Sometimes we're not receiving because we're not specific about the things we're approaching God on, right? Oh, God, help me. What's that mean? What's that mean? Oh, Lord, just bless him. Okay, nice. But we need to be very specific on the things that we do go to God on. You look at Jesus again. He's very specific on things. You know, what can I do for you? The woman with the issue of blood. I'll be healed, what? When I touch him. If I'll just touch at the end of his garment, then what? Then I'll be healed. She set up her faith already that when I touch the garment, at that point of contact, that's when healing will happen, right? Second one, Joshua 1:8. A lot of people do not understand what the Bible promises them. So number two, read scriptures that promise the answer you need, right? I can't base anything off of, our girls obviously go to school, they're around other kids, and anytime you're in the public school or any kind of school, obviously you're gonna experience some different faith, whether you have no faith or different denominations, and I'm not against any denomination or anything. But people will just say things that they have no idea what they're even talking about, right? I remember, somebody was talking about, well, so-and-so died, and somebody got born again at their, got saved at their funeral, so obviously God had it, they would die, so this person could get born again. Well, how come you didn't lead them to the Lord before they died, Well, there's nothing in Scripture, my Bible says there that with long life he'll satisfy us as believers, right? God's not into killing people. I heard some minister talking about he was traveling, and this guy picked him at the airport years ago, and when he was picked him at the airport, the guy said, well, did you get the swine flu? It wasn't like, hello, how are you? Hey, how was your flight? Everything okay? Are you hungry? That's usually when I pick up people from airports, the minister, different things like that. Hey, are you okay? How's your flight? Are you hungry? You need something to eat? Let's go eat, blah, blah, blah. Making sure. No, did you get the swine flu? What? Did you get the swine flu? What? No. The guy obviously didn't understand his covenant, right? Well, anyway, then later, the minister was talking, and he says, well, obviously you don't understand the covenant. Well, I'm a good Christian. Well, wait, I didn't talk about being a good Christian. I'm understanding what Jesus has given us. Well, I believe God put that on me and gave that to me so I'd be more compassionate towards, people who had swine flu. Really? So then he asked me, like, really? Well, then, so does your wife have to become a prostitute to have more compassion about prostitutes? Do you have to be an alcoholic or drug addict to be more compassionate to alcohol and drug addicts? No. And there's no biblical, again, basis on any of this junk. It's just that we just pull things out religiously. Well, God, made me sick, but teach me a lesson. Well, in my case, that would be child abuse, and I'd go to jail, right? So he's not doing these things, and God is not schizophrenic. So we need to find out in the Word what belongs to us, and then act on it, and what doesn't belong to us. The devil is going to feed you all kinds of lies that, your sickness, you've done something bad. And maybe some people have done bad things and they, open up the door for things. But again, we can repent and come running back to him, and he'll take care of us. So again, we just need to understand the Word and understand what belongs to us. Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law, talking about the Bible, so basically put it in our vernacular here. Back then, all they had was the law. And the law is just basically, what Moses received from, God on the Mount Sinai. When it says, this book of the law shall not depart out of our mouth. We shall meditate day and night, that we'll observe to do according to all, everybody say all, that is written therein, for then you shall make our ways prosperous, and we shall have good success. I mean, we are what we meditate on. I had a family member all the time that, you know, I had a family member that, you know, all the time her kids are just, everything's, you're stupid, you're dumb, you're this. Yeah. He's got a lot of problems now, you know. Why? Because he was programmed that as a kid, you know. You're stupid, you're this, you're that. And I had another one too, and they both have issues. Why? Because they had this mentality and thought that they're stupid all the time. They were brought up all the time. They were stupid and they were dumb and, you know, shut up and do this and do this. Well, after a while, you're going to start believing that, right? That's why Joshua here, by the Holy Spirit, is led by the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, that we're to reprogram ourselves. Let's just say this, especially when you're born again, you know, you may sense something different. I have a friend of mine at Rhema. We both worked at, you know, Faith Library Publications together. And we sat next to each other. Our desks were next to each other. We had absolutely two different experiences. So when I got born again, I didn't feel anything, right? It was just like, woo, okay, great. I'm hungry. We're going to go eat, you know? It was, I felt, but I didn't feel anything. You know, it was like, hey, I feel good now, yay. But when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, I mean, I felt like I was on fire, you know? It was just amazing. Well, when he got born again, he just felt on fire. It was amazing. But when he got baptized in the Holy Spirit, he didn't feel anything. Well, again, we don't go by feelings. But the main thing is, when we come back here, what does the Word say? And so, you know, even though you can feel and experience some things, I still had old thinking. You know, I still had old thinking to deal with. You know, they're in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Let's turn there real quick. We'll kind of end things here. We're definitely not where we need to be. But let's look at Romans chapter 12. Most people don't. They want God to do everything for them, right? How many disciples were there? Well, there was a lot of disciples, but the main ones the Bible talks about are the 12, right? You got the multitude, which everybody who's showing up for the free meal, for all the healings, all the good stuff, everything that's, you know, all the benefits, right? Then you got the disciples, then you got the 12, you got the 3, and then you got John, right, who's there at the cross with Jesus, okay? So you got this hierarchy of people who are in a commitment level. Well, you know, for the most part, we have let's just talk about the 12 main disciples and their families. You know, the multitudes, there were thousands of people that got, I mean, there's multiple times where, you know, people got free food, you know, Jesus fed the 5,000, and that's just counting them in. So, you know, we got kids and everything else. Those are people that got a free meal. All right, how do those 5,000 people that were there, plus, let's say there was spouses, maybe there was kids, maybe there's 15,000, I don't know. You know, there could have been 15,000 or more people. 15, 20,000, let's say, okay? 12 people and their families submitted themselves under the ministry of Jesus all the time. So you think about it, right? So the numbers really shrink when you come down to those who are committed to Jesus. I remember Bob Jones, he's a prophet, and talking about he had died and was standing before Jesus. Of course, he came back. But he said there was two lines, and he says, I was in a line, there's only probably like 2% of us. And Jesus said, did you love? Did you love? He asked everybody that was coming into to the kingdom there. And because the other line was just full of people who were just doing things for themselves. They lived the life themselves, not interested in what God had to say, really focused on, you know, their careers. Nothing wrong with careers. But again, it's who we're focused on. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, and we'll close with this. I beseech you therefore, sorry, King James here, brethren, basically, I want to talk to you about this. By the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. So, there's three parts of mankind, right? There's the spirit, the soul, and the body. The spirit is the real you. It is the one that's going to be with the Father. Well, actually, all of us are going to, at some point, I mean, spirit, soul, and body, at some point, we'll have a recreated body when we're in heaven. But the spirit is what the real you is, okay? And then there's the soul. That's your mind, will, and emotions, okay? That's what does math problems. That's what thinks. There's the logic, the reasoning, okay? You exercise that in school. And then our bodies, obviously. And my body was talking to me this morning. So, and probably here in a few minutes, your body's going to be talking to you. But it says here that we present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. God just says, get your body under control. That's reasonable. I mean, that God's not even saying, yay, boy, you're just super amazing, awesome. He's like, if you can keep your body under control, that's your reasonable service. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world. Here we go. But be ye transformed by the what? The renewing of your spirit. The renewing of your body. No, we can't renew our spirit, can we? Because Jesus already, when we're born again, it was already recreated, right? Okay. I'm as saved today as I will ever be. When I get to heaven on the other side with Jesus, I'm not going to be any more saved than I am right now. Now, I'm going to experience a whole lot more awesome stuff on the other side. Absolutely. But as far as me being a son, you being a son or a daughter, whether you're alive now or you're over there, like the Bible says, to be absent from the body is to be what? Present with the Lord. So that means your address is either here in your body, when this body gives out, or Jesus comes back, one of the two, then we'll be present with the Lord. So it's just basically a transfer of address, location, right? Verse 2, but be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So our job, just like in Joshua 1:8, meditate on this book of the law day and night, right? And what's the end? That you'll have good success. What is Joshua saying? Just like Romans 12:2 is saying here, that our mind has got to be renewed. Why? Because we can't have any stinking thinking. Many people want to have faith, but they don't want to take the time to renew their mind. Right? You listen to Jerry Seville, you listen to Kenneth Copeland, you listen to Brother Hagin or anything. It's a process of changing your mind and to change your thinking, right? Even successful business people and things like that, they have to take time to renew their mind, right? They have to. There's a guy that I did, we had sales, and it's called Integrity Selling. In fact, Ron Wilmington, he just passed away. He wrote that book, and he's a Christian. He's born again. But my company did, our department has us read that book. Well, anyway, it's called Integrity Selling. And he would take time and he would just say over and over, he would take one phrase over and over again and talk about how, I'm not afraid, I'm this and that. He'd make these declarations. Well, he got these concepts from the Bible, right? From things like Joshua 1:8, from, Romans 12:2, renewing your mind. This doesn't just, these are biblical principles that are not just for faith, but it's just life in general. And the world picks it up too. Remember Arnold Schwarzenegger, he said he would take pictures of his heroes and plaster them all over his wall so that it would give him inspiration and get his mind thinking that I can do this, right? Again, he would do things to get his mind. The world does this, and then we come to church and we talk about these things, and people are like, oh, that's just mind science and everything. Are you kidding me? The world does this all the time to motivate themselves to get their thinking in line with success in doing things. And Jesus is just trying, and the Bible is just trying to get us to say, okay, get your mind thinking, right? I've had things, when I went to college and I studied music, I had... people that said, oh, you'll never pass, you'll never do this, you'll never do this. And I had to every day think about, okay, I'm going to do this. I had to renew my mind to doing things, right? You got to keep your mind, you got to have it renewed. And then some people were like, you should take your degree and send a copy to this person that said you weren't going to do it. What's that going to prove? Nothing, right? Other than zing people. But before we can, again, we can pray, but I believe people aren't seeing prayer is because their mind isn't renewed and they're not convinced that God's going to do it in the first place, right? We've got five more to go, so we haven't even scratched the surface yet. Amen. So the first one, let's just review these two. the two steps here, or the first two steps. Number one, decide what we want from God. And number two, get your mind renewed, focus on scriptures that are going, that you're looking for, and that God has promised you that you can have. Father, we just come before you. We thank you for this time together, Lord. God, we pray the glory down on this church, Lord. We pray your glory, which is your manifest presence. The glory is basically the physical presence of the Holy Spirit, that physical presence, Lord. We pray that, Lord, that we're going to see the manifestations of the Holy Spirit in this church like never before. You know, I've seen things like this. We watched earlier this miracle. The cool thing is I just don't have it on video. It's good to see these things, and it helps us build our faith, right? The Word helps us build our faith. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Testimonies build us, it encourages us, the Word gives us the foundation and the grounding to be able to stand on something, reach out by faith, and pull it down into our realm. And that's what we study the Word, we meditate on these things, because why? Because there are things in the spirit realm that we got to pull into this realm, okay? Whether that's finances, we got to pull them in. Whether that's, you know, free from addictions, we got to pull that in. Healing, whatever it is, God has it, we need it, and we can pull it in. But you know what? He's willing and he wants to give it to us. And he's trying to get it through to us. Father, we come before you. We thank you for this time. We give you glory and honor. You know, before we end here, I don't want anybody looking around. I just want, if you're not born again, and what I mean by that is if you never made Jesus your Savior, or you need to come back to him, or you've never made, you know, received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or, I'm throwing a lot at you right now, or you need prayer for something. You just want to grow. Nobody's going to leave yet. If that's you, just raise your hand. We want to pray for you. We always want to offer up prayer. It's like we were talking about earlier. Jesus said, my house is a house of prayer. It's fellowship with God is what it is. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Friday night, it is Brian and Wendy, is that right? And then we have, they're in Ankeny now. And then also, too, Saturday, ladies event, too. So, if you've, and it's a gateway?
Yes,
it's a gateway. And it's at 9 o'clock,
yep.
Grab a friend,
yep.
Be there, be square. You're gonna love it. So, yep, have some good, how many ladies do you enjoy it when you do go? Have a good time of fellowship, okay? It is good. Adrian shared with me some things that there. You definitely want to be there. I'm telling you right now, you want to be there. And I'm not really a big promoter, you know, rah-rah person necessarily on that, but I'm just saying it is going to be good and you're going to be blessed. So, amen. I'm looking forward to the men's thing too because I'm looking for some bacon. So, amen. Hallelujah. All right, you guys have a great week.